It's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 5th of October 2013. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday from 10 till 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oneroa. On Saturday, the 5th of October, Christina Patterson talked to Kelly Buzard about how local shopping initiative Totally Waiheke got underway. She spoke to David Basham about Mental Health Week and Daughter Ray from the Waiheke Resources Trust. She starts off talking to Kelly Buzard.
Thank you to the Sandbars. They hosted a totally locally evening. We invited businesses to join us. It's a volunteers. There are no funds. It's about really caring and making a difference. So people like Stu from Pukeko Signs printed bumper stickers, posters, Take Note busily photocopied a lot of stuff. Norm from Island Print went round with posters. And ultimately, we bought into the concept, and away we went. We put special offers called $10 towns into shop windows, which has been hugely successful, and a treat for Waihekians to be able to buy some of the special gems and treats available on the island and locally produced, you know, going back into the community.
So in order to become a totally, to be a totally locally business on Waiheke, what is the criteria for that?
It's just simply a local independent business.
So now I'm just noticing, I was noticing and interested that some of those businesses are part of a franchise, but are they, do they have to be a New Zealand franchise, or what's the
story? I mean, there's no hard and fast rules. At the end of the day, we're trying to generate and improve the sustainability on the island. I mean, obviously it's not an anti-supermarket campaign. It's really just saying, I mean, great, go to the supermarket. I go to the supermarket, but perhaps don't spend all your money there. Perhaps visit Raw or the fruit and veggie store, buy your veggies there, go to the butcher, just put your head up and look around at the many beautiful businesses on this island, and spread it around a little bit.
Yeah. So the challenge to Waihekians is to spend $10, but to do so differently, because probably people are regularly spending $10, and we're not talking about the bigger chains that are owned by overseas, but to actually spend $10 at a totally locally business.
Absolutely. I mean, there's 101 ways to do it, whether it is your fruit and vegetables, whether it is the butcher. I mean, it's more so, for example, if you're buying a gift. I don't know when the last time our listeners out there went into Island or Escapade or True Blue, into the arts and craft shop down in Tahi Road. And if you check out the Facebook site, there are some amazing offers out there. You know, the oyster shop, for example, has $10 smoked oysters. I mean, it goes on and on and on. If you look up and smell Waiheke, there's just so many ways to enjoy it. And the whole experience of shopping locally means you bump into your neighbours, means you bump into someone you haven't seen for a while. You get to engage in the community, and that's what the spirit of Totally Locally is all about.
So how many businesses have joined the whole Totally Locally?
Well, it's not a formal thing. You don't sign a contract. You just basically go, yes, I'd like to be involved. I don't think there's one shopkeeper I don't know that isn't aware of it and isn't engaging in it.
Okay, yeah. Great. So so some of the specials, we were just scrolling through on Facebook and having a look. You can actually find Totally Locally Waiheke on Facebook. And some of the shops and businesses around the island have been putting up some $10 specials, because the challenge is that you spend $10 differently every week, as opposed to just $10, which you regularly do, which I do. I mean, for example, I spend it on my roast Waiheke on my coffee. So, but it's actually getting out and doing something different, isn't it?
It absolutely is. I mean, one of our biggest challenges, obviously, is the commuter, that discretionary income that's been spent in town.
Yeah.
And I think if you did took a peek at the Facebook site today, you would see everything from the most beautiful candle bags at Arts and Crafts, normally $20. For Totally Locally, they're $5. You get outstanding pizzas at the Sandbar, again, Totally Locally, $10. There's quirky gifts from Island and Escapade. We've also got some really great little colouring pages that are in all the restaurants and vineyards this week for school holidays. I mean, you can just look around, you know, at First Stop Liquor, he's got $10 Riverstone wines. Everybody's really trying to make an effort just to invite you into their store. You don't have to spend, but they're giving you a reason to go in and take a look.
What with this, I kind of didn't have you switched on earlier. What difference would this make?
To the bottom line of our local economy, $3.38 million. Yeah. So it's huge.
Yeah. What sort of, I've heard something about it, that going around the island however many times, once you spend it somewhere. Do you know about?
There is some math that says every $10 it's spent on the island goes around five times. And there's actually a quirky little video nicked from the English, which is worth a watch. I mean, it just watches a $10 note go through various stores in one particular village.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, one of the important things of the campaign, it is just a feel-good campaign. It's called Hidden Gems, which some of you may have seen both on Facebook and in the Waiheke Weekender, which is where someone had a really delightful experience in a shop and they shared it, and someone else thought, they'll share them too. And there's a raft of them, and it's quirky, it's local, and it's only on Waiheke.
Yeah,
it's great.
That's right. Now, anything else you wanted to say before we do a shout out to your kids?
Uh-huh. No, I just think that thank you very much for the support of everybody that's gotten behind Totally Locally Waiheke to date. There's been an enormous amount of volunteer time, printing, effort, and it's all really welcomed, and it is really starting to make a difference. So thank you, Waiheke.
And are you on a website at the moment, or you're just on Facebook?
We have a website as well. That's more, to be fair, a retailer resource in terms of downloads of colouring bits and pieces, yeah, and posters. But, if anyone has a hidden gem, you can email me on Kelly@totallylocallywaiheke. We can just give me a call or post it on Facebook. It's about the community engaging, so get involved.
So Kelly@totallylocallywaiheke.com.
co.nz.
Okay.
And get a bumper sticker. There's heaps of them around.
Yeah. Okay. Where can they get a bumper sticker from? Just any of the shops?
Most of the shops. There's certainly Stu from Pukeko who kindly printed them. Escapade has plenty. GSV has a few. Golf News. Or again, just ask any retailer. They'll point you in the right direction.
Awesome. And if you're wanting to find out more about what specials are going on around the island to support the $10 spending, for Totally Locally businesses, you can go to the Facebook, which is Totally Locally Waiheke. Thanks, Kelly, for coming in, and we want to do a shout out for your children.
I do. I've got my girls here today. Just a big hello to Senna and Georgia, who are little Totally Locally Waihekeans. Thanks for having us.
No worries. Waiheke Radio. And you're back on air with Christina Patterson on Island Life, and we're here with David Basham, who's promoting Mental Health Week for New Zealand, and I believe there's an International Mental Health Week smack bang in the middle of it as well. Can you tell us, David, what's the theme for Mental Health Week this week?
Right. Mental Health Week is promoted by the Mental Health Foundation every year, and it is usually in the first week of October, and that goes from the 7th to the 13th of October. And in the middle of that is a World Mental Health Day. So it's quite separate,
right,
but it just, they try and put it together, and they try and tie it up. And World Mental Health Day is about mental health for older people. So the theme for this Mental Health Week is connecting. Connecting with people, connecting with your community, connecting with your friends, connecting with your family, just getting out there and connecting, because it's been discovered that, and it doesn't probably take much thinking, that if you isolate yourself, the chances of you becoming unwell, if you suffer already from depression or anxiety, that will not help. Connecting helps you to have a brighter day, to have a brighter time. And even if it's just saying hello to somebody in the street, or saying hello to a shop assistant, or meeting your friends for coffee, or just doing something, it prevents that isolation, which cannot really help you.
Right.
There was a survey done, and the Sovereign Insurance Company put out a well-being index, which they used a survey for, and they've discovered, surprisingly, that when it comes to connectedness, we're really down the list about how good we do it. We're like 22 out of 23 countries.
Right.
So you can Google the Sovereign Wellbeing Index, and you'll find that we don't do too well, particularly young New Zealanders. Now, they have a lot of social media, but they don't do a lot of connecting themselves. So they are quite isolated, and yet they do contact on the social media. So what the Mental Health Foundation has done, there's a lot of activities, not necessarily put on by them. They're sort of the conduit. They're the ones that sort of coordinate it all. And there's some really interesting functions, speaking, panel discussions, and they're all on the Mental Health Foundation website, which I'll put on Out of the Blue Facebook. But the one big one is next Saturday, which is a family fiesta in the park, just at the top of Ponsonby Road before it gets to Karanga Happy Road. There's a park there called Western Park, and they've got a monster fiesta there. Music, food, clowns, a little circus. They've got everything going.
Ponsonby is actually quite a cool little place. I mean, I know we love our Waiheke, but I was driving through there recently, actually, and they were having a big street party, actually. So quite a cool community.
Yeah, they do a lot of it. I've often thought the Belgium Street would be a equivalent to do things in, but we've never ever really got around to doing it. But there's going to be a really big fiest. That's from 12 till 6, Western Park, next Saturday. And that's got lots of different organisations putting it on, just to get people out, somewhere to go. It's a family thing. Kids can come along. It's just there to show, look, you can connect with people, meet up with friends. And there's fabulous food, all different types of international food, fabulous music, some of the very best musicians. And I'll put all those details on the Facebook site for Out of the Blue.
Okay.
Loneliness is a really big issue because Age Concern have discovered that 50,000 older New Zealanders class themselves as very, very lonely.
Sad, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a real big risk factor for physical and mental health problems. And surprising, I didn't realise, they say research has shown it can increase cardiovascular disease, low immunity, dementia, depression. People who are just cut off and lonely from their friends or family or community, it's really bad for our health.
It's actually, it's surprising. See, most of us in New Zealand would suggest that we're a very friendly society and that we, we would expect ourselves to not be suffering quite so much, but to be 22 out of 23, it's perhaps a wake-up call to New Zealand that we're not as good as we think we are in terms of our community being so open and friendly.
Yeah.
Or is it that we, in a postmodern world that we live in, that we isolate ourselves?
I think a lot of it's to do with how busy we are. Lots of people work on the weekends where they never used to. I mean, I was a young kid. Shops make me sound very old. Shops weren't open on a Sunday.
They weren't open for me when I was a kid either.
Right.
If that makes you feel any better.
It does, because you look really young.
Thank you.
And Saturday there was hardly any shops open. And I can remember when my brother had a dairy and he had to cover up the groceries because he wasn't allowed to sell groceries on a Sunday. It was just very different. And I know my father worked a half day on a Saturday, but that was all.
People knew their neighbours as well, didn't they, back then?
I think they did.
Now we build higher fences, so we don't. Although we live on Waiheke, we're a bit different. And I think that's what we like to think about Waiheke, is that we are a bit different from that.
I think a lot of older people are quite isolated.
Yeah.
And I think lots of parents who are solo parents can be quite isolated.
And that, I'm sure,
that's just from what people have told me.
And what are the statistics in New Zealand for mental health? Because because that is isolating in itself, isn't it?
Well, I think that's one of the big issues, that when you're not feeling well, you feel like you don't want to mix. They say one in three will suffer some form of mental illness. And I know people don't want to hear mental illness, but that can be like mild to moderate depression right through to the more, when I feel like saying serious, I mean, if you're suffering from mild to moderate depression at the time, it's pretty serious. It's real serious. And so the statistics are very high. We also have,
New Zealand,
regrettably, high rate of suicide in New Zealand.
Yeah. Now, what is the rate for suicide?
I'm sorry, I don't have that, but it's very high. Yeah. We're really high, higher than most countries with the young people. And it's moving up into older age group.
Mm.
And our rate for suspected suicides in older people has gone up too.
Oh, that's awful.
And I mean, I don't know if connecting's going to be the cure for that, but certainly I know that when I connect with my family and with my friends, I'm certainly better for it than if I don't. I live on my own, and I know that if I could come home from work on a Friday and not see anyone till the Sunday, if I didn't make an effort. So it does require us to make an effort to actually go out, but you've got to feel like you can.
Yes. I think I'm the same. I live in Onitangi, where it's pretty rural.
Yep.
And, you know, when I come up to Onirua, I'm blinking because it looks all bright and shiny and busy. Really different experience of Waiheke, actually, up there. Mm. I think one of the ways that people could connect on Waiheke is all, I think we were talking about recently, places where you bump into people. And some of those places are, you know, schools or pickups from kindy or, you know, the supermarket or Onirua Township. There are places where you bump into people. Those are opportunities, aren't they, to actually really ask people how they are, and not just to be busy about what we're doing.
Yeah, I think if we can sort of have that little bit of time. I think that happens with older people. You know, I think where the Health Trust, actually, Waiheke Health Trust, provides care for elderly in their homes, and sometimes they're the only person that they see. You know, they want you to sit down and have a cup of tea. I've had this explained to me, but it's the only one they see. Meals on Wheels is sometimes the only one they see. So if there is an older person near you, you know, say hello, pop in, see what you can do for them, and just spend a bit of time, because other cultures do it very well.
Mm.
We don't seem to do it that well with the older people. We sort of go, oh, either we don't feel like we should intrude, or we decide, well, we're just too busy and we really haven't got the time.
We're at a different pace, perhaps, and need to slow down a little bit.
I know I met lots more people when I commuted in the weekend, when I lived on my own, I didn't really know lots of people unless it was those people I commuted with. And then when I stopped commuting, I had to make a whole lot of new friends because those people weren't around.
Mm, yeah.
So it can be quite different. And the really interesting thing is the Mental Health Foundation decided to put out a number of books to people to see if we would review them. And they sent one to me, called Resilience, and it was about how strong social capital helps people recover from disasters. And this man did a survey on, I think there was about six, there was earthquakes, tsunamis, Hurricane Katrina, and he found that despite a community being poor financially, that if they were well connected, the recovery for jobs, shops opening, schools opening, and people getting back in their houses in Katrina was greater than perhaps more wealthy suburbs who didn't connect.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because, for example, in Christchurch, if you think about Christchurch and what they've gone through, and those who, I mean, you know, clearly there are people who have left because it was such a traumatic experience for them. But those who remain because of the connections that they've experienced through the disaster, I suppose. And in a way, some of them are grateful for that, you know, for the opportunity to have connected with their community and to know their neighbours. So I sort of, I think... is there anything happening on Waiheke that we're doing for Mental Health Week this week?
No, we never really got that far. It takes a bit of organising, and not everyone has time.
No.
There was going to be a display in the library. I don't know if they've done that. I'm going to check on that. I think there's a few posters in the doctors. I may be talking to the Waiheke Health Trust workers on Tuesday. I'm not sure whether that's happening or not because they've got a lot of things planned. But no, there isn't a lot of things. It just doesn't get this far. I mean, every year a group of us think, oh yes, it'd be a good idea, but it's just a matter we're all busy.
Mm.
And I mean, and that probably a bit of a, it just proves the point, I think.
So what would you encourage people to do this week?
Well, I think the main thing is to talk to your neighbours. If there's an older person in the street, visit them, say hi to them. If they don't want you to, well, they'll soon tell you. And maybe you just smile and try again some other time. Just say hello to people.
Mm.
Just greet people. We're all head down, busy, busy, busy. But we can just spare that little bit of time because it does make such a difference. We saw in Christchurch where that man made all that food and what they were flying it in helicopters at one stage.
Yeah.
You know, and that connected a whole lot of people because the problem is when the crisis is on, the stress is not as great because there's a big adrenaline rush.
Right.
And what happens is the worst part is after it's all stopped, when all of a sudden not everyone is feeling the same, because some people in earthquakes aren't affected the same as others. We all have different ways of responding to things like that. And so the people that find it harder are less and often feel left out. And that makes them withdraw because there's other people just getting what they appear to be, just getting on with their life. So that's when the connectedness really, really helps. The connectedness seems to happen when the disaster's there, when it's all crisis and we've all got a pitch in. It seems to happen then. But it's afterwards, even a year later, people can, the amount of post-traumatic syndrome that's in Christchurch now is very high because it's later where all that crisis and attention and everyone's in the same boat has gone.
So that's survival mode as well. You're going through survival. Well, not that I've been through something like that, but yeah.
And that's what happens. People have recovered and are getting on with it, but some people are still affected by it.
Mm.
And so that makes them isolated. So it's not so much, the connectedness is very important, but it's not what you'd expect. It's down the track, even a year later or 2 years later, people can still be having those. And that's where the connectedness is very important, just giving those people a little bit of time. So I'll put all of this up on the website for Out of the Blue.
Yep.
And the different connections, and go into Mental Health Foundation. They're a great information source.
Yeah,
they provide lots of material for people, lots of resources, and really they've picked out connectedness. It's part of 5 ways to well-being, which the Mental Health Foundation brought out quite a long time, and they are connect, of course.
Yeah.
The other one is give, and that's giving of your time. Take notice. Look around you when you're doing something. Look at the trees. Look at the birds. Look at the gardens. Look at things. Take notice. because that mindfulness acting when you're out is very important to you. So you're not just running things over in your head. Keep learning. That's why they sent all the books out to everybody to review. So there'd be a whole lot of books that you could look up, because you can borrow from the Mental Health Foundation. They've actually got a library. They like you to go in there, but not everybody can. But people on Waiheke, they will post the books to you. And then, of course, there's the one that we always hear, be active. Yes, I know, I laugh too, because I'm afraid I might do some of those other ones, but the active one is one that I don't...
It's so I'm crucial to mental health, though, isn't it? Yeah. It really is. It makes such a difference.
Yeah, and... But that's something that perhaps people don't do. So maybe you can connect with someone to go for a walk.
So for someone who's feeling isolated or they're suffering from mental illness of any kind, they find connection difficult. They're probably not feeling the best when they're out and about. If they have to go out, they're not feeling the best. Your encouragement to them?
Well, there are some things you can go to. And you can start off fairly simply. Horizons Peer Support Group has a meeting at the Red Cross little coffee bar upstairs on a Tuesday. It's in the Golf News under the big list, and it's Horizons.
I'll have a look through and announce.
And you can go. That's where you can meet people who are also suffering from that. So that's a very small start. But then if you look in the Golf News, and things cost money, but if you look at all the activities that are in the Golf News at Catherine Mitchell, they're enormously long. Or perhaps you just go for a walk. It's very hard to do things on your own, because if you're on your own and you're surrounded by other people, it can make you feel a little bit lonely.
Just reaching out to someone who you feel... you know, you can trust a little bit with, you know, I think with mental health, what helps is there's a really great video I was looking at recently, and you've probably come across the books called, it's called The Black Dog or something like that. Yep. Yeah. And it's really an interesting story. You can see it on YouTube or you can get the book. And it's about the experience of people with depression. And we know that, you know, depression is quite high in New Zealand.
It is.
So I'm guessing that, well, I think what would help for people, and I say this because, of course, I work in the industry myself, is that for people to try and be understanding, it's impossible to understand something you've never experienced, but to actually be open to learning about that person's experience, to be accepting and non-judgmental. I think something that I would say is that for someone who is suffering from depression or another mental illness, is they probably feel looking, they probably rarely tell somebody about what's really going on for them. So when they do tell somebody, that person's response is extremely important. And if they you know, they'll be watching for, does this person accept me? Does this person judge me? So I'm thinking that for those who find it hard to reach out, to encourage them to reach out to someone that they trust, and for those who have been reached out to really respond with compassion and to try and learn. Would you agree with that?
I agree entirely. That's why the Horizons Peer Support Group is so valuable, because they are people who may not be going through exactly what you're going through, but they know what it's like to go through something like that. And that's why peer support now is very important in the mental health industry. I call it industry these days, it feels like it, because that's the important thing. You can talk to someone, they may not because we're all different. That's the one thing we've all got in common, that we're all different. And so, you know, our experiences may be slightly different, but they do have something in common. We'll be able to touch something. So I think that's very important. I remember a friend of mine said to me, as manager of the Wish Trust in Bay Road, she said, "I don't know why such a gentle person like you is in such a violent business." And I just went, "What? There's no violence?" But that was her perception of it. Yeah. That same person said,
Fear of the unknown.
What's it like to suffer anxiety? And when I explained it to her, she said, "Oh, I suffer from anxiety at times. We all do. It's just a matter of how it does, and it's just degrees. But people don't really, you can't catch it. It's not a transferable illness." And I think some people think it is. If I go there, well, maybe I'll catch it too.
There's fear of what you don't know.
Oh, it's the fear of the unknown. Yeah. And that's why people like organisations like the Mental Health Foundation. And that's why I talk about my own depression and my own anxiety, because it's well known. You can Google me. I mean, my secret was out many years ago, so I'll talk to anybody about it, because it just takes to try and get rid of that stigma. But I always say, whenever I feel like I might get married again, because I did get addicted to a wedding cake, and if I ever thought I'll get married again, I put an article about my depression in the Golf News, and that gives me some space for some time. But it is important to be able to talk about it and let people know, and peer support groups are really, really vital. And mental health industry really is putting a lot of effort into employing people who have suffered from some form of mental illness in the industry, and that's where the big drive is. There's lots of courses, there's lots of diplomas now around peer support, around that kind of help from somebody who knows what it's like. Because then you feel good, you feel safe. You know this person won't judge you, and you know this person has got some idea of what it's like. So I think that's very, very important. So connecting on Waiheke with, say, the Horizons group, because they also do art classes.
Oh, yeah.
And they have quite a few things. So it's worthwhile connecting with them. And it's in that part of the Golf News where it puts on things. And I think there's a couple of numbers there. And it just means you meet some people who are kindred spirits, and it's just helped so much.
So, so this week, Waiheke, let's go get out there for Mental Health Week and encourage people to reach out to other members of their community, connect with other members of their community, and just keep your eyes out for. It sounds like a high percentage of the elderly are feeling alone, and so we can do something about that. And we're a caring community, so just an encouragement as well. There are street parties actually happening on Sunday afternoon,
starting at 12, aren't they?
Yeah, starting at 12. And so far we have 3 confirmed street parties in 3 different suburbs on the island, and there are, you know, talk of others. And I'll just give that information out again. So I really encourage Waiheke to get behind that.
Well, see, without us really knowing, we've actually done that connectedness. Because I think the other Saturday before last, I had you and Sutherland in here talking about the street parties. So we actually are doing something that's connectedness.
Well, there's mental health. Yeah.
And it shows that connectedness is part of what we want to do.
Yeah.
It's just how do we do it?
Yeah.
And it's a bit scary to
meet people. I'm one of those people who are having a street party at my home simply because no one else put their hand up. So I thought, gosh, we've got to do something. And I want to. I'm quite new to my neighbourhood and I want to know my neighbours, but I'm actually too scared to go and knock on their door. So I just put a little note in their letterbox and invited them over.
Well, so, I used to live in Esland Road on the way to Kennedy Point, and we used to have one in the roundabout for Christmas.
Oh, awesome.
And, you know, I saw them one day. They were mowing the grass and doing things. I'm thinking, what's this? And in my letterbox, there was a notice, and it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course we had long driveways. We never saw each other.
Yeah.
I discovered there was a man who had lived to be over 100, and he was a really bright man, had been playing cards almost up to that time, and he was wanting people to read to him. And I didn't know. I had no connection with him. And I would have been delighted to go and do that. But, you know, it really touched with me. I live up even bigger driveway now, so I don't see anybody.
Yeah, I live up a long driveway too.
Yeah, and so that can make a real difference to us.
Mm.
And we go home and that's it. And when it gets dark, that's why daylight savings is a bit helpful.
Yeah, get out on the
beach. Because it doesn't get dark so early. Mm. And that, you know, when it gets dark at 5:30, 6 o'clock and cold, that makes it a long night through till the next morning.
Mm.
So it can be hard.
Yeah. David, thanks for coming in and sharing what's going on and highlighting some of these issues.
Thank you.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
And we are talking to Dorta from Waiheke Resources Trust. And Dorta, you're here to tell us about what?
Food waste today.
Yeah.
All about food waste and what you can do to reduce your food waste.
Oh, okay. Tell us more.
Okay, so the project that we're doing is called Kai Conscious Waiheke, and its aim is to empower Waiheke communities to reduce their food waste. What we've found is that Waihekeans are really good at wasting less than, say, Aucklanders, but we still have a whole bunch of food waste in our rubbish, and that equals money. And our project is really trying to give people some information about what their food waste might be costing them, and then some skills about what they can do to reduce it. And it's really easy things like planning, portioning, and then eventually going to recycling, because we do compost well on Waiheke, but it's more than composting.
Right, because obviously a lot of people on Waiheke do compost and feed our chickens, my lovely six chickens that I feed. But that's not the aim. The aim is to reduce wastage. Yeah,
for sure. So composting's great, and that's a big part of the project, is to encourage people to compost. Lots of people do compost. There's still people that could be composting.
Yeah.
Getting it out of the red bags and out of the wheelie bins is definitely a priority. But it's really saying that you spend money buying your food. Like, not many of us are completely self-sufficient, so there's definitely some cost involved to most families in terms of buying food. And that even if you do compost that, you could be actually saving yourself money by reducing it in the first place, and maybe your chickens and your compost don't get as much food, or you might have to buy them some grain, but you're not giving them the really expensive food that you could have eaten yourself.
Right, yeah. So what's the benefit? I mean, obviously there's financial benefit for not wasting. What else?
Yeah, so the financial benefit is significant. We think that up to a third of the food we buy could be being wasted. So out of every $30 you spend, you could be chucking $10 into the compost.
That's amazing.
Definitely the financial stuff is huge. But then there's the obvious environmental benefits as well. So food waste is really damaging when it goes into landfill, particularly in terms of greenhouse gases. And especially, this is the thing that took me quite a long time to get my head around this, but it's actually the costs, the resources and the costs that go into getting the food to you in the first place for you to waste. So all of the water that was used to grow the rice, all of the petrol, the fuel that it took to get it here from the other country it was growing in, all of the people's time that went into growing it and processing it. All that is wasted when you chuck out a cup of rice.
It's that carbon footprint thing.
It's carbon footprint, it's water footprint, it's a resource footprint. Yeah,
yeah.
So that's the environmental stuff. And there's a social side to it as well. I think it's got some huge implications in terms of the wider food system. So there's lots of people hungry in the world, and in fact the amount of food that the world wastes could feed sub-Saharan Africa. So it's social, it's environmental, and it's economic.
So talking about environmental, because that might be news to, I don't know, maybe other people more clued up than I am, but that's news to me about greenhouse gases, because we always think that with food it breaks down, so if it's going into a landfill, no big deal, because it breaks down. So,
okay.
So it's effect on the environment.
Yeah, so I'll explain that, and it simply comes down to the fact that the landfill is an anaerobic environment, so there's no oxygen involved. So food waste, when it breaks down on compost, it produces some good things, and it's a really good thing to do, to compost your food waste. Once it goes into landfill, it gets covered up and it mixes in with a whole bunch of other things, and it produces methane.
Right.
Methane is the same things that cows produce.
Yeah.
And it's a particularly harmful greenhouse gas, so it's 20 times stronger, more than 20 times stronger than carbon dioxide. Mm. So, yeah, big effect in terms of methane. But I think also the carbon emissions are a really significant part of the food process in terms of getting the food to us. So all of the growing and the using all of the tractors and the trucks to get us, that all has carbon attached to it as well, and that's all effectively for nothing when we throw something away.
Wow. So really, because that's information I didn't know. I mean, we all think about recycling.
Yeah.
And the effect that has, and we, most of us are pretty good at recycling, I think.
Yeah, no, I think we are really good on Waiheke. Yep, definitely.
But as you say,
can always do more.
Yeah, of course. But as you say, it's food wastage, and we don't think twice about throwing food into our rubbish bins.
Yeah, and I think I think we can get into what's bad about it, but it's actually a really easy thing to solve, and that's one of the things that the project is focusing on. So
tell us about the project.
Yeah, okay. So the project is, it goes in a couple of stages, and we're in the middle of the first stage at the moment. So it's a pilot project, and it's supported by Auckland Council. So they're really interested in knowing how it goes on Waiheke, because if it goes well, it has the potential to go to other communities. So it's a bit of testing. We don't know, have all of the answers necessarily, but we're really interested in finding out what works. And so what we've put together is a bit of a kit, and the kit includes a benchtop container, a booklet with a whole bunch of information, some information on composting, and a couple of other tools like a meal planner and a progress chart. And what we're basically doing is giving people, households, the kit and saying, have a go. The first stage involves 50 households. And then we'll bring back all of the information. We'll say, how did that go for you? Is there anything you think was missing? What worked really well? What didn't work so well? And we've got some people actually weighing their food waste to see if there's we can chart a change in behaviour. But we're also really interested in how people feel about their behaviour before and after. And then after those 50 people come back to us, we'll go out to a whole neighbourhood, and we've chosen Blackpool.
Yeah.
So in a couple of months, we'll go door-to-door in Blackpool, and we'll be offering a kit in whatever kind of form it takes after the first stage to Blackpool. And so 220 households, we estimate, will get the kit. And then we've done a waste audit on Blackpool. We know what Blackpool's wasting and how much food is going out in Blackpool already. And then after they all get the kit, we will audit again and see if there's any reduction. And hopefully there is. But it's also about how people start talking about the issue, and we start, working as a community to solve this issue.
So where are you up to with your project at the moment?
Yeah, so we're in the middle of stage one. We're still looking for people. If people are interested in being, they don't have to be based in Blackpool, but if people are interested in being part of that first stage, they can get in touch with me, and I'll simply drop off a kit and be available to help anyone with any questions. We've got the website up and running, so there's, resources online as well for people who need support. That's the first stage. It'll run for another couple of months, and so people are more than welcome to get in touch with me and be part of it that way.
And what would you for those who might be interested, what will they get out of this project?
Yeah, good question. Apart from this great kit that they'll have for free, they will get empowered, I think, hopefully, with some skills. It's the project, the kit, is based on teaching people how they can put meal planning in place, or they can start to portion their meals better. So it's not a huge drain on resources or anything. They'll hopefully just pick up some skills and some ideas that they can put into their lives. I think the community building, you know, kind of connecting up with other people in the community is one thing that is really important about the project, and I'm really interested to maybe get some events happening around this issue as well. So,
yeah,
hopefully there's some community building we can get out of this, linking in with the community gardens and things like that as well.
So so those out there who want to reduce their wastage so that they are having less impact on the environment and less impact on their wallet, can get in touch with you to get some skills as to how they might be able to do that, and how do they reach you?
Probably the easiest thing is to check out the WRT website, which is wrt.org.nz, and then I'm available as well, and I've got a confusing name, but my my email is daughter@wrt.org.nz.
And daughter spelt?
D-O-R-T-E.
Yeah. So daughter@wrt.org.nz. Okay.
And my details are on there, so really, I'm probably in the phone book as well, actually. And we've got a Facebook page. We're at the market as well, occasionally. So
your Facebook page is called?
The Waiheke Resources Trust.
Cool. Yep. Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, thanks for coming along. And honestly, it's great what you're doing.
You want to join?
I do, actually. Although I reckon my wastage is actually probably pretty minimal.
So that's the really interesting thing. Most people do think their wastage is really minimal. And I think it's really common on Waiheke. What we're hearing is, well, we compost, so we don't need to think about it.
My chickens. But to be honest, my chickens don't get enough food.
Right.
From
me.
So I'm really quite sure that I don't have that much. But, you know, I'm willing to give it a go.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily about just reducing the amount that's going out as well. It's about thinking about the wider consequences and those social and environmental aspects as well.
And I'd love to be part of it.
Great.
I think it's a fantastic project.
Cool, thanks.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.